Thank you very much.
Griffiths, my uncle, of course. It is it's a pleasure to be back. It's my third time here. We had we learned together last year and the year before. Last year, I think I was here, Parshas Kukas, spoke about the Chet of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the year before, Parshas Korach, we spoke about Torah Shebaal Peh, Dinim Derabanan in general. The last two times I was here, we... Rabbi Schwartz and I had spoken in advance about what I would speak about, and so we spoke maybe something in halacha, something in the parsha. So 2 years ago, I gave a halacha shir. Last year, I gave a parsha shir. So this year, that sort of left me in the middle. So I decided maybe we'll do a split this year. We'll do part on the parsha, part halacha. This week's parsha, Parsha Shlach, is obviously a packed parsha. A lot going on, a lot to explore in terms of the Meraglim, in terms of Eretz Yisrael. And so over the course of the time we have, hopefully we'll get to everything. If not, so then Ur Chazon Lamoid, and we'll do as much as we can, but we'll try to explore a little bit of the nature of the Chet of the Meraglim, and then move to the halachic side, to understanding the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. I'll just preface our learning tonight by saying that there is a Gemara in the seventh parak above Metziah. The Gemara talks about what is what's considered in terms of what's considered in what would we consider to be halacha l'maisa in terms of what we learn. The Gemara says it's more important to know things halacha l'maisa than to know the rest of the dinim in the Torah. It's important to know all the dinim, but before one gets to all the dinim, so first he should know the dinim that are relevant, and then once he's learned all the dinim that are relevant, so then he moves on to even the dinim that are not relevant. So the Gemara is discussing which dinim are relevant and which are not. The Gemara is saying there was a certain Amora who was known that he mastered the parts of Shas that are relevant, and he didn't know the parts that were not relevant as well. So if you would ask us, we know there's six Darim in Shas, and some of them are more relevant than others. Zra'im is not very relevant nowadays, unfortunately, since we don't have... In Eretz Yisrael, it's more relevant, but even in Eretz Yisrael nowadays, since we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, a lot is only a level of Derabanan, not the Raisa. That's why there's no Talmud Bavli on Zeraim, because it was written in Bavel, and it wasn't relevant in Bavel. Taharos also, the last Seder in Shas, is not so relevant, because we only keep the Dinum of Tumah and Tahara when we have a Beis HaMikdash. Moed, Nashim, Nezikin are usually assumed to be the three Sedarim that are relevant. Moed is obviously the Yom Tovim. Nashim is a lot of halachos, Gittin, Bikidushin, those halachos also come up. And Nezikin, monetary law, interpersonal cases, so that comes up all the time, Dinum and Kol Shemishpor also. Kudshim, however, if you would have asked me, so I would have said Kudshim belongs in the category of things that are not so relevant, because that also has to do with the Beis HaMikdash. Unfortunately, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash b'zman hazeh, so Kudshim for us isn't relevant. The Gemara, however, doesn't say it. The Gemara says that this Amora, who learned everything that was relevant, he learned Moed, Nashim, Nezikin, and Kudshim. So why is Kudshim considered one of the Sedarim that's Halacha L'maisa in Bavel if we didn't have Karbanos? So Rashi on that Gemara explains, because even though Kudshim is not practically relevant, we can't bring karbanos nowadays. There's a special halacha when it comes to kudshim, which is that if a person learns hilchos kudshim, it's as if he's brought a karban, because the psukim in Sefer Vayikra constantly repeat zos toras ha'olo, zos toras zevach hashlamim, and Chazal learned from the word zos toras that if you learn the Torah of the karban olah, you learn the Torah of the karban shlamim, male olav kilu hikriv olah, male olav kilu hikriv shlamim. So the machlokas rishonim as to whether or not this applies to other mitzvahs also. Does it only apply to kachim, to hilchos karbanos, because there's something different about karbanos, or is this true by any mitzvah in the world, any mitzvah which we can't fulfill? So if we learn about it, is it as if we did fulfill the mitzvah? So for the purpose of tonight's shir, maybe we'll hope, like the Shita and Rishonim, that if we can't fulfill any mitzvah, so learning about it will accomplish a partial kiyum of the mitzvah. So for those of us who are not right now in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, at least by learning about it, so then we'll have some partial share in the mitzvah. So to jump in first in terms of understanding the Chet HaMeraglim, which is obviously the centerpiece, the focus of this week's parsha. So there's a major, major question that we need to ask in terms of the Chet HaMeraglim, which is what exactly was the Chet? What did the Meraglim do wrong? We're all familiar with the fact that the Meraglim spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. The Meraglim were told to go explore Eretz Yisrael, go spy the land, go see what's going on. They had a havtacha from Hashem that the land was good. They had a havtacha from the land that they would be able to, from Hashem, they would be able to overcome their enemies in Eretz Yisrael. They came back with a report that was negative. So that's usually our orientation to the Chet HaMeraglim, and that's what Rashi says in source number one. Rashi's approach, Rashi, the very first Rashi in the parasha says, "Lama nismecha parashas Meraglim, the parashas Miriam." Why is the parasha of the Meraglim right next to the parasha of Lashon Hara Shel Miriam, which is how parashas Bahaloscha ends? L'fi shalaksa al iske diba shedibra be'acheha. Miriam got punished for speaking Lashon Hara about her brother, Be'alchiha, against her brother. Rishon halalu ra'u v'lolachu musar. These Rishon, these Meraglim, saw what happened to Miriam. They saw the ramifications of speaking Lashon Hara. They didn't listen. They didn't take the musar from that. And they spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. So they were punished for that. And that's the standard approach we're all familiar with when it comes to the Chet HaMeraglim. The problem with that is that when we look through the beginning of the parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he sends the Meraglim, he gives the Meraglim very detailed mission. He says, go look for this in the land. Go see, are the living in walled cities or fortified cities? Go see what's going on in the land. He says, he gives them a full report. Go find out. So you see already that Moshe was leaving room for some interpretation. He was saying, go see. Moshe says the words, Hatovahi Imra'a. Is the land good or is the land bad? So there is some room for the Meraglim to find out. The point of sending the Meraglim was to find, was to scout out the land to see how they should strategize in order to conquer the land. And so when they came back with this report, so how could they be faulted for just reporting what they saw? If the answer was already scripted, if they were already told in advance that they needed to give a good report, what would have been the point of sending the Meraglim at all? So this is not my question. It's a famous question asked by the Mefarshim. It's made most famous by the Ramban. The Ramban in this week's parasha has a running commentary on the story of the Meraglim, starting from the very beginning of the parasha all the way through, and he highlights this question and some of the major issues. He actually gives a few approaches to answering this question. I'm not going to discuss all of them now. There's one part that's very famous, and that's the part we're going to discuss, but it is kedai to see the other parts also. The Ramban we're going to discuss is in the middle of the parasha, Perek Yud Gimel on Pasuk Chav Ches. It's also kedai to see the first Ramban in the parasha, which offers some other approaches. And the Ramban says, we're not going to read the whole thing, but if you just look where it's bold, the Ramban says, Avol Rasha'am B'milas Efes. If you go back to source number 2, the Pesukim say, when the Meraglim come back, the Meraglim deliver a report to Klal Yisrael, what they saw in Eretz Yisrael. The Pesukim say, V'asapru lo v'yomiru, banu el ha'aretz asher shalachtanu v'gam zavas chalav udvash hi v'zeh piryas. They come back, and the first thing they say, the land is good, zavas chalav udvash, like you respect. Rashi here says that they said the land was good because they really want to say that the land was bad. But if you don't say a little bit of mixas shvach at the beginning, so then when you say it's bad, it's not going to be believed. So they said at the beginning that it was zavas chalav udvash, and then they followed that up by saying, Efes ki az ha'am ha'yoshev ba'aretz v'ha'arim b'tzuros g'dolos me'od v'gam yiludei ha'anok ra'inu sham. They said, it's true that land is good. It's true the land is zavas chalav udvash. But what's the problem? The problem is efes ki az ha'am. The problem is the people are so strong and we can't conquer those people. They're too strong for us. If we go fighting against these people, we're just not going to win. It's not going to happen. They're too strong. And the Ramban says in source number 3 where it's bold, avol rasha'am b'milas efes, the Ramban says that was the problem. Moshe Rabbeinu did not ask for their opinion on whether or not they had the strength to defeat the nations that were in Canaan. Moshe did ask them to go scout out the land. He did ask them to come back and give a report, HaTovahi Imra'a HaBemachanim Imbim Miftarim. He did want to know all that. He also even wanted to know where they should attack from, what vantage point they should come from, how they should strategize in order to conquer the land. But what he did not want was for the Meraglim to weigh in and tell Klal Yisrael whether or not they would win, because that they already had a haftacha from Hashem for. Hashem already told them that they're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, they're going to conquer the land. The Meraglim had no place in giving that opinion. So that's the approach of the Ramban. The Ramban says that the richness of the Meraglim was with the fact they expressed the opinion with the word Ephes. One word changed the entire story over here. There's another approach to the Chel Meraglim, very different than the Ramban, but the Netziv in the Hamak Dover develops an approach to the Chel Meraglim, which is really not just an approach to the Chet HaMeraglim, it's a theme that the Netziv carries through all of Sefer Bemidbar, and he applies it, and the Meraglim is only one application of this theme. The Netziv in general, when you go through Hamak Dover, the Netziv has themes that he develops, and when he talks about these themes in one place, so he always cross-references. He'll write in one place, he'll write the theme, he'll write part of it. And let's say, Ayin Mashak Asavti in Bereshis here, and in Devarim here, and Vayikra here. So all you have to do is find one Netziv, and then look at all the cross-references, and you get the entire picture. So the Netziv in Bamidbar develops a theme, a huge theme, that he starts with, based on a question. If you look in source number, it's in the source in Hebrew, source 5, but hey, The Nitziv points out the Mishnah in Maseches Yuma and Daf Samech Ches Amud Beis. The Mishnah there is talking about something completely different. The Mishnah is talking about the Avodah of Yom Kippur and the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur in the middle of his Avodah when he's doing he's sprinkling the Dam of the Par and the Dam of the Sa'ir. He's going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He's going to do all the Avodah. In the middle of the Avodah, though, he reads from the Torah, and part of what he reads, the Mishnah describes, is he reads Uve Asor Shebechumish HaPekudim. The Asor, the tenth, is the part of the Psukim that are talking about Yom Kippur, the Psukim and Parshas Pinchas. Uve Asor Shebechumish HaPekudim. The Parsha of Yom Kippur in the Chumish HaPekudim, so the Kohen Gadol reads that on Yom Kippur. What is Chumish HaPekudim? We're familiar with Bereishis, Shmos, so Chumash HaPekudim is Bamidbar. Right, why is it called Chumash HaPekudim?
The countings and everything. That's another way of doing the counting. He remembers the code.
Correct, code. Exactly. Bamidbar starts with a count. Since Bamidbar starts with a count, it's called Chumash HaPekudim. And then a sieve asks a very fundamental question. Then a sieve says, it's true that Bamidbar starts with a count. And you're correct, that's why Chazal called Chumash HaPekudim. But then a sieve says, wouldn't it have been better to call the Sefer Bamidbar? How many times were Klal Yisrael counted in Sefer Bamidbar? So the Sefer opens with a count, and it's true, there is one other count in Parshas Pinchas. There's another count that many years, 38 years later, when Klal Yisrael are ready to go into Eretz Yisrael, so then there's another count. The Netziv says that's such a minor part of the story of Sefer Bamidbar. He says, I understand when we look at the other Sfarim, Chazal give to other names, so Sefer Bereishis is famously known as Sefer HaYashar in Chazal. And then Tziv there explains, that we can understand. What's Yashar? What's Yashrus? Yashrus means a person who lives a life that's an upstanding life. He exemplifies what it means to have proper interpersonal relationships. And he says, that's what we learn from the Avos. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, constantly interacting with Malachim, interacting with different people. That's what Sefer Bereishis is all about. That's Sefer HaYashar. Sefer Shemos is known as Sefer HaGeula. That we could understand. Klal Yisrael leave Mitzrayim. They have the Geula for Mitzrayim. They build the Mishkan. So that's the theme of the Sefer. But if we wanted to know what's the theme of Sefer Bamidbar, it's hard to say that the theme of the Sefer is that Klal Yisrael are counted. Because that's just not true. That's not the theme of the Sefer. It's true that those are two events that happen in the Sefer, but the theme of the Sefer is really goes by the name that we call it, which is Sefer Bamidbar. If you look at the bulk of Bamidbar, Balos, Chashlach, Korach, Hukas, they're all stories of what's happening to Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. So why did Chazal decide to refer to the Sefer not by the name we call it, Sefer Bamidbar, but instead they refer to it as the name Chumash HaPekudim? So based on this question, the Netziv develops a whole approach to understanding Sefer Bamidbar, and with it he explains what the Kedel Meraglim was. The Netziv says that the reason Chazal refer to Sefer Bamidbar as Chumash HaPekudim is because the two counts in Sefer Bamidbar mark the bookends of a transition that occurred throughout Sefer Bamidbar. The Netziv says that when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, and they built the Mishkan, and then they were Mekabel LaTorah, and then they embarked on the journey getting ready to go to Eretz Yisrael. So the plan was that they were going to enter Eretz Yisrael on a level of Lamala Min HaTeva. They were going to go into Eretz Yisrael on a level that was higher, that was above nature. The land was not going to be conquered in natural fashion. They weren't going to need to resort to natural means. They were going to enter Eretz Yisrael completely Lamala Min HaTeva, and that was Klal Yisrael's existence in the Midbar at this time. They were living as a Merkava L'Shechina. Chazal described how the Arba Degalim, the way that the camp was set up, the way that Klal Yisrael camped around the Mishkan, was modeled in a way that was like a Merkava for the Shechina, a way of carrying the Shechina, and it's described in different places. That Chazal were for that purpose of carrying the Shechina with them, and Klal Yisrael were living in a level of Lamala Min HaTeva. The original plan was that was how they were supposed to go into Eretz Yisrael, and that's what's marked by the first count in the beginning of the Sefer. By the time we get to the second count in towards the end of the Sefer, in Parshas Pinchas, 40 years later, that marks a major change that happened, because at that point, now Klal Yisrael were going to go into Eretz Yisrael on a level of Teva. Now when they go into Eretz Yisrael, they're going to conquer the land with natural means, as we know actually happened. In Sefer Yeshua, we learn about the battles that were fought for Eretz Yisrael. We learn that sometimes, rarely, but in Melchemes Ha'ai, the battle didn't go well. Sometimes Klal Yisrael struggled in conquering Eretz Yisrael. And now it was all going to be B'derech HaTeva. So the Netziv says, this is the theme of Sefer Bamidbar, the transition from Lamala Min HaTeva to B'derech HaTeva. What marked that transition? So that was L'chid HaMeraglim. The Netziv says that when Klal Yisrael came to Eretz Yisrael, and they were ready to go into Eretz Yisrael, so they were ready to go in, and they were supposed to go on a level of Lamala Min HaTeva, but at that moment, Klal Yisrael made a decision, and they said, wait, if we go into Eretz Yisrael on a level of Lamala Min HaTeva, that has certain repercussions. That has certain ramifications. Because they saw that in the Midbar, when they challenged Hashem, and when they slipped up slightly in the episodes of the Misonanim, and in what happened in Tavera, and when Klal Yisrael were stepped a little bit out of line, when you're living on a level of Lamalam and Ateva, when you're so close to Hashem, and you're held to such a high standard, there's very little margin for error. And Klal Yisrael decided, we can't live like that. Now we're going to live on a level of Lamalam and Ateva in Eretz Yisrael, in the Palton Shel Melech, in the palace of the king. We're going to live on this level in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't leave us any leeway. It doesn't leave us any wiggle room. We're not going to be able to function. Klal Yisrael then, at that point, made an active decision that they were going to transition from living Lamalam and Ateva to living Bederach Ateva. And that was the what went wrong here when Klal Yisrael sent Meraglim. They rejected the opportunity to enter Eretz Yisrael on a level of Lamalam and Ateva as Hashem had originally planned. And the Netziv goes on to explain, he carries this theme all the way further to connect just for a second, to take us back to what we spoke about last year. Last year, Parshas Kukas, we spoke about the Chayit of Moshe Rabbeinu, so that point we developed different approaches as to what the Chayit actually was. We spoke about Rashi says hitting the rack, the Ramban says it wasn't hitting the rack, the Ramban has a whole different approach, he struggles to understand exactly what it is, he concludes with the Tzarachi and he doesn't know. The Rambam says the Chayit of Moshe Rabbeinu was not that he hit the rack, but that he said Shimu na Hamorim, he got angry at Klal Yisrael. So we spoke about that last year. The Netziv has an entirely different approach based on everything we just said. The Netziv says, you know what Moshe Rabbeinu did wrong? He says that when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, v'dibartem el hasela, when he told him to speak to the rack, so he didn't mean literally speak to the rack, the Netziv brings proofs from throughout Tanakh that sometimes the word el does not mean to speak to, but it means to speak about. That Hashem was telling Moshe that he should speak about the rack. What does it mean to speak about the rack? So the Netziv says, the way to understand this is based on everything we've set up until now. At this point, when Moshe Rabbeinu is in Me Meriva, and this episode is happening, this is in year 40 of the Midbar. This is just before Klal Yisrael is supposed to go into Eretz Yisrael. Right now, the transition from Lamalam and Ateva to Teva has already happened. Now Klal Yisrael are ready to go into Eretz Yisrael, Bederech HaTeva. So at this point in time, Hashem decided that when Klal Yisrael asked for water, it would be improper for him to perform a supernatural nace and give them water like he had done in the past, because now the lifestyle had changed. It used to be that 40 years ago, if Klal Yisrael asked for water and they complained and they came to Moshe and Moshe came to Hashem, so Hashem would say, go hit the rack and water will come out. Now Hashem decided that he can't do that anymore, because when Klal Yisrael enter Eretz Yisrael, that's not going to work anymore, because life in Eretz Yisrael now, in the second plan, plan B, is going to be done Bederach HaTeva. So now Hashem said, Moshe needs to train Klal Yisrael for how you live Bederach HaTeva. What do you do Bederach HaTeva when you need water? So you don't go run to Moshe Rabbeinu and ask Moshe Rabbeinu to hit the rack and bring out water in a fashion that's Lamalam HaTeva. Hashem said, you daven. So you gather all Klal Yisrael together, you daven, and if davening doesn't work, you're kovei atanis, and you gather everyone together and have extra tefillos. And that, when you're living in a life that's bederach hateva, that's how you approach Hashem and ask for water. So when Netziv says that's the pshat, v'dibartem el hasela means daven. Speak about the rack, speak daven regarding the rack, that it should give forth water. Because now Moshe was supposed to teach Klal Yisrael how they're going to live in a way that's bederach hateva, not lamalam and hateva. And Netziv says, since Moshe failed, that's how we can understand the punishment that Moshe wasn't allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. Moshe was a leader who was a leader ra'oi for a people that's living lamalam and hateva, and he was operating on a madriga that was lamalam and hateva. He was not able to lead a people that was going to live bederach hateva through the daily grind, through the daily life. That wasn't going to work with Moshe Rabbeinu as the leader. That's why specifically Moshe couldn't enter Eretz Yisrael. So that's the theme, the very fascinating theme that Netziv carries throughout the entire Sefer to explain Chumash HaPekudim, and that's the Meraglim according to Netziv. Netziv at the very beginning of this week's parasha, you have it here on the sheet, I'm not going to read everything inside, but the Netziv, if you want to see it later, the Netziv on this week's parasha has it's one of these sources, but it's Source Dalet. Source Dalet is the one in this week's parasha. So you can take a look later. That's where he describes that. That's what was occurring with the Chayit HaMeraglim. So these two approaches, just to summarize so far, we've had the Ramban and the Netziv. The Ramban says that the problem that happened with the Meraglim was that they expressed their opinion on whether or not they would be able to conquer the land. That's not something they were asked to do. And then Netziv points out that there was this transition from Lamalam and Ateva to Bederach Ateva. So just for a second, to wrap up this segment of the Shira on the Chayit HaMeraglim, I want to go back for a second to Rashi, which we started with. Rashi said the approach that we're most familiar with, and Rashi said that the chait of the Meraglim was they spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. They came back with a negative report. And we saw the question the Rishonim asked, why is that such a bad thing if the report was negative? So then you say the negative report. Moshe asked, HaTovo Yimra'a, what did the Meraglim do wrong? So there's actually even a more fundamental question we could ask on Rashi. And that is, Rashi says, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke, the Meraglim spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. We have to ask the question, is there really a problem with speaking Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael? What does it mean to speak Lashon Hara about a land? We all know there's an issur of speaking Lashon Hara about a person. You can't speak Lashon Hara about another Jew. But what does it mean to speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael? And maybe we'll say, okay, Rashi's lav dafka. Rashi didn't literally mean the issur of Lashon Hara. Rashi meant maybe just they spoke negatively about Eretz Yisrael. It's hard to say that, though, because if we look back for a second at source number one, the way Rashi framed the Lashon Hara of the Meraglim, Rashi said, why, lama nismecha parashas Meraglim, la parashas Miriam, why does the parasha of the Meraglim go together with the parasha of Miriam? Because the Meraglim saw what Miriam did wrong, velo lachu moser. It's a hard comparison. Miriam violated the Isser of Lashon Hara. She spoke Lashon Hara against a human being, against another Jew, against Moshe Rabbeinu. The Meraglim spoke negatively about Eretz Yisrael, which is not an Isser Lashon Hara, so it's hard to understand what's the comparison that Rashi is driving at. What's the comparison between speaking negatively about another person and the Lashon Hara that the Meraglim spoke about Eretz Yisrael? So this is actually a question that I'd never noticed this question on my own. It's a question I first heard from my father, that my father pointed out this question, and he offered an answer. We're going to see a different answer, but he actually offered a very interesting insight, which might help understand the Isser of Lashon Hara in general. My father suggested that maybe what Rashi means to say is that when we think about the Aveira of Lashon Hara, it's not so much that we speak negatively about another person. That's bad. But the bad thing is that a person is speaking negatively in general about things. That when a person speaks negatively, so it makes him into a certain type of person, and it frames a certain perspective that he lives with about those things. So that's what Rashi's saying, that a person, that the Meraglim saw Miriam, they saw Miriam spoke Lashon Hara, they spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. It's not the Isser of Lashon Hara, but Kipshuta, what the words mean, Lashon Hara, speaking negatively, that the Meraglim should have learned that lesson. They should have learned you don't speak negatively about things, you don't live with that perspective. That's one important takeaway from the Rashi, but another answer to this question, which sheds a very interesting perspective on our relationship with Eretz Yisrael in general, that I saw in my Rebbe's Sefer, Reshechter has Reshechter's Sefer Nefesh Harav, where he records from the Rav. I never heard Reshechter say this. I never heard it from him, but I only read it in his Sefer. But it's a very powerful idea. If you look at the bold in Source Zayin from Nefesh Harav, Reshechter quotes from the Rav: "The Mikan Haraya Shalagabe Eretz Yisrael Asir LaHagid." Afilu es ha'emes im himara, de'af al ha'emes yesh iser lashon hara. The Rav Shechter proves, he says, we go back up for a second before the bold, to the beginning of the source. So Rav Shechter quotes the question of the Ramban. He says, v'kach hizkir Rabbeinu, the Rav, Rav Soloveitchik, would explain, b'kesher l'chein ha'meraglim, shekvar omar al kach ha'ramban. The Ramban asked the question that we saw a second ago, halo nishlechu lasur ba'aretz. Weren't they sent to scout out the land? If they were sent to scout out the land, then Moshe expected a report, so what did the Meraglim do wrong? So he answers that, you see from here, that just like there's an Isser Lashon Hara about people, there is an Isser Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, that Eretz Yisrael is something that we can't speak negatively about, that we're not allowed to formulate a negative approach towards Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Shechter proves this from the B'Shem the Rav. Rav Shechter B'Shem the Rav proves this from a Gemara Maseches Megillah and Daf Chaf Hei Amud Beis. The Gemara there is speaking about which parts of Tanakh, certain parts of Tanakh that tell stories that are a little bit derogatory, a little bit bignus of Klal Yisrael, and which ones are you able to translate publicly, and which ones do you not want to translate publicly, because you don't want to speak in the gnus of Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara there discusses that there's one perek, Hodas Yerushalayim as Tov Osel, which we have as the Haftorah of Parshas Kedoshim, that the Gemara there discusses whether that's a parsha that you're going to read, that you're going to lain betzibor. The pshita of Rabbi Eliezer is that Hodas Yerushalayim is never going to be lain betzibor, because Rabbi Eliezer says you don't speak bignus shel Yerushalayim. And Rav Shechter points out that even though we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, if we look in a printed chumash, so the haftorah for Parshas Kedoshim is Hodas Yerushalayim is Tov Osel, but we never lain that haftorah. When Achrei Mos Kedoshim go together, so we always lain the haftorah of Achrei Mos, and even when they don't go together. There's always some occasion that we're not going to end up laning the Haftorah of Parshas Kedoshim. Actually, I made that mistake this year. I was in YU for Shabbos on Parshas Kedoshim. I was laying Parshas Kedoshim. And when in YU, when you land in YU, so the Baal Koreh prepares not only the parsha but also the Haftorah, because we land from a cloth. And so I prepared the parsha and I prepared the Haftorah. And the Gabbai had come over to me in advance, and he told me, you should just know that we land the wrong different Haftorah. I had forgotten, and I prepared the Haftorah of Parshas Kedoshim, and I remembered in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz at Shacharis. Right before landing. So I realized, in the middle of Chazaras, I realized I prepared the wrong Haftorah, so I went over to the Gabbai, and I said, I'm sorry, but what do we do? I messed up. So it happened to be, there was another person there, very impressive. He had landed last year, he was able to look it over, he filled in and landed on the spot, so I landed the parsha, and he took over for the Haftorah. But so this shiloh came up for me, Lemaisa, this year, and that's this din over here, that we don't lane the Haftorah of Hoda Yisraelim as Tov Osef, because we don't speak the Gnus Eretz Yisrael. There are certain things that we keep on a certain level of Kedusha, and we do not want to address it ever in a negative fashion. And it could be that's what Rashi's driving at the beginning of the parasha as well. The Rashi's saying, we connect the Lashon Hara of the Meraglim to the Lashon Hara of Miriam, that just like there's an Isser of Lashon Hara against a Jewish person, against a Basar V'dam, they're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara, so too bad Eretz Yisrael. And just like the Isser of Lashon Hara entails, even when something is true, a person is not allowed to speak negatively about it unless it's L'Toelas, so too when it comes to Eretz Yisrael. If there's no Toelas, then a person is not allowed to tell the whole truth about Eretz Yisrael. A person should always paint it in a positive light in order to avoid speaking negatively about Eretz Yisrael. So, just to summarize what we've seen until now, in terms of exploring the Chet HaMeraglim, we've seen three approaches. Number one, the approach of Rashi, that the Chet was a Chet of speaking negatively about Eretz Yisrael, which Rav Schechter developed further, that maybe it's a Isser Lashon Hara, just like speaking Lashon Hara about Abbas and Vadam. The approach of the Ramban, that their Chet was with one word, they said Ephes, they expressed an opinion on whether or not they would be able to conquer the land. And then, approach number three, the approach of the Netziv, that this was a shift from living Lamalam HaTeva to Bederech HaTeva, a general transition that was happening during the time of the Midbar for Klal Yisrael. I want to move now to discussing, in the time that we have left, to discussing some of the dinim of the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael, more halachic discussion, and explore just a little bit of the question. It's a very famous question, a question I'm sure that many of us, not all of us, are familiar with and have heard shiurim about in one form or another. And that's the question of, is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, or is there not a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? And the question is a question that much has been spoken about, much has been written about. And so maybe just for the next couple of minutes, we'll explore the question, and we'll try to highlight some of the major ideas, some of the major themes, and work out this question together. The place where this discussion starts is traditionally the source where this discussion starts is in the words of the Ramban. The Ramban is the one who formulated most clearly the fact that there is indeed a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban has it in the Sefer HaMitzvos. The Ramban did not write the Sefer HaMitzvos. The Sefer HaMitzvos is a Sefer that was written by the Rambam. The Rambam, we know, wrote the Mishnah Torah. That's what he, among other things, but he's most famous for writing the Mishnah Torah, the Yarech HaZaka. The introduction to the Mishnah Torah was the Sefer HaMitzvos. Often it's printed as a separate Sefer, but it was intended, the Rambam's intention was that the Sefer HaMitzvos should be an introduction to Mishnah Torah. That first you should know in general what the Tarayag Mitzvos are, and then throughout the Mishnah Torah he elaborates on it. And that's why in the beginning of every single section of Halachos in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam always gives you, these are the Mitzvos that are in, if you Hilchos Brachos, so these are the Mitzvos that are here. Hilchos Tfilah, so Mitzvah Saseh Achaz Palo B'chol Yom. And then he goes on and tells you what the Dinim are. So the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos famously does not count the Mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't mean that the Rambam doesn't think there's a mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. We're going to get to the Shitas HaRambam hopefully in a few minutes. But the Rambam does not count it in his list of 613 mitzvahs. And the Ramban wonders why that is. The Ramban wrote a sefer, the Ramban wrote Svarim in general. The Ramban wrote many Svarim defending the works of the Rishonim that came before him. The very first sefer the Ramban wrote was a defense of the Rif. The Ramban at the age of 16. wrote when he started writing, and he decided that he was going to write a defense for the Rif. The Rif was the first one who organized the halachos of the Gemara in a halachic fashion. He took out He edited out all the agaditos and just put together all the halachos to read somewhat like a Shulchan Aruch. It was arranged al seder ha-gemara, though not topically. And the Rif was the first one to do that. He didn't do it on two masechtas, though. He didn't do it on Nedarim or Bechoros. The Ramban first finished the Rif's work. He wrote an imitation Rif on Bechoros and on Nedarim. And then he moved on to defending the Rif in a sefer called Mochemes Hashem. There were those who had attacked the work of the Rif. The Ramban wrote Mochemes Hashem to defend the Rif. After he finished defending the Rif, so then the Ramban moved on to critique some other Sfarim. He wrote a critique on the Rambam. And so he critiqued the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, and every place where the Ramban thinks that the Rambam counted a mitzvah he shouldn't have counted, so the Ramban takes out that mitzvah and inserts a mitzvah of his own in order to complete the count of 613. So Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is one of those mitzvahs that the Ramban thinks that the Rambam did not count and the Rambam should have counted. So if you take a look in section 2, section B of the Ma'ar Makomos, source Aleph, so the Ramban says, Mitzvah Revius, the fourth mitzvah that I want to add to the Rambam's list, is Shenistavinu Loresha says Ha'aretz Asher Nosan Hakel Yisbarach Liyis'ala Labosenu La'avraham Liyitzchok Uliyakov Lo Nezva B'yadzulosenu Min Ha'umos Olishmama. That we have a mitzvah to conquer Eretz Yisrael and to take control of Eretz Yisrael, and we shouldn't leave Eretz Yisrael in the hands of any other nation, or we should, even if it's not in the hands of any other nation, but we shouldn't leave the land desolate. So the Ramban says, until now we haven't seen there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but the Ramban formulates that there's a mitzvah to conquer the land and that there should be Jewish sovereignty over Eretz Yisrael. Later on, in that same passage, if you look in the second line, where the Ramban says, Va'omer ani, he says, Va'omer ani ki ha-mitzvah she'achachom mafligin ba, the mitzvah that the Chachomim praise so highly, v'hi diras Eretz Yisrael, that's the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, ad she'omru she'ko hayoti mimena v'dar b'chutz la'aretz, yehei be'enecho ke'ovei ravodazara, that Chazal speak strongly against the person who lives in Chutz La'aretz without valid reasons for doing so, and says, yehei be'enecho ke'ovei ravodazara. So the Ramban says, skipping a few words to where it's bold, he says, "Hakol hu mimitzvas aseh hazeh, shenitztavinu lareshes haaretz v'lasheves ba." It's all part of this mitzvah aseh that we're commanded to conquer Eretz Yisrael, to control Eretz Yisrael, and to settle the land. Im kain, concludes the Ramban, he mitzvah saseh ledoros, it's a mitzvah saseh for all generations. Miskayev kol yochin mimenu, every individual Jew is chayev in this mitzvah. Va'afilu b'zman galus, even in the time of the galus, ki yadua b'talmud b'mkomos harbe. So Ramban says that we have a mitzvah to conquer Eretz Yisrael, l'resh es Yisrael. It's based on a pasuk in the end of Sefer B'midbar, a pasuk in Parashas Maaseh, Perek Lamed Gimel, pasuk Nun Gimel, v'horashtem es ha'aretz v'shavtem ba, you should conquer the land and you should live there. And the Ramban says included in that mitzvah of conquering the land is living in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban begs a fundamental question, which is, what's the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah to conquer the land, or is the mitzvah to live in the land? Because the Ramban said, if we look back at the first line, the Ramban formulates, the mitzvah is l'resh es ha'aretz, to conquer the land. And then he goes on to say, this mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, this mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, falls under the rubric of conquering the land. So how are we meant to understand what the Ramban is saying? How is it that when living in Eretz Yisrael falls under the rubric of conquering the land, when one individual goes to live in Eretz Yisrael, he's not conquering the land, he's not establishing sovereignty over the land, he's just living there. So the Ramban is working off of a Gemara in source number 2, and we'll see in source number 3 the Ramban develops this further. The Gemara, we're not going to read the whole thing because we don't have the time for it. But source number 2, the Gemara lays down a principle that kibush yachid should make kibush. The Gemara says if one person settles in Eretz Yisrael, or the context in which the Gemara discusses it, the Gemara has a discussion in places relevant to the mitzvot hatzlius ba'aretz, that you could have lands that are not part of Eretz Yisrael, but then they're conquered by a melech, by a Jewish king, and then they have certain dinim that apply to it, like the dinim in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara talks about what's the status of Syria, which is a place where David HaMelech conquered, but he didn't conquer it on behalf of the entire Klal Yisrael. He conquered it not on behalf of the entire Klal Yisrael. So that's something called kibush yachid. That's something called that we categorize halachically as an individual kibush. It's not a kibush of all of Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara says that that has the status of kibush. That has the status of kibush mochama, and that's enough in order to establish it as part of Eretz Yisrael in terms of certain dinim. And so the Ramban in source number 3 says this is what it means when we say there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban says that when one person lives in Eretz Yisrael, if you look where it's bold in source number 3, he says, mitzvah v'to'eles l'kol Yisrael hu shelo techarev Eretz HaKadosha. When one individual goes to live in Eretz Yisrael, so that contributes to all of Klal Yisrael in a way that other mitzvahs don't. It's other mitzvahs, a person fulfills a mitzvah, so he does so for himself. But when one individual goes and lives in Eretz Yisrael, so he accomplishes something for all of Klal Yisrael, because when one person goes to live in Eretz Yisrael, he's accomplished a partial conquering of the land and has contributed to this mitzvah, L'Reshes HaSa'aretz, of conquering Eretz Yisrael. So that is the sheet of the Ramban. The Ramban holds that there is a mitzvah, say, a chiyuv, to live for a person to live in Eretz Yisrael. The question is, do all the Rishonim agree with this? Are there other Rishonim, do the other Rishonim agree with the Ramban that a person is mechuyev to live in Eretz Yisrael? Or are there other opinions on this issue? So the Rambam is actually ambiguous when it comes to this question. There are sources in the Rambam that indicate that there is a chiyuv to live in Eretz Yisrael. There are sources that indicate there is not a chiyuv to live in Eretz Yisrael. And so I want to briefly explore some of those sources, and we're going to see two opinions in the postgame, the opinion of Rav Moshe, and then the opinion of Rav Shechter as to what the sheet of the Rambam is. The Rambam writes in Source Dalet, in Hilchos Melachim, Perakei Halacha Tes, Hilchos Melachim is where you find these dinim of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael in the Rambam. The Rambam writes, Aser lotzeis me'eretz Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz la'olam. A person is never allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to chutz la'aretz, Ella, except for four things that a person is allowed to leave for. Lilmo Torah. If a person needs to leave to learn Torah, he can't learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael, or he can't. There's a certain yeshiva that he wants to learn in Chutz La'aretz, or a certain rebbe he wants to learn by in Chutz La'aretz. So Lilmo Torah, a person can leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz La'aretz. Olisa Isha, if a person can't get married in Eretz Yisrael and he needs to go to Chutz La'aretz to find the shidduch, so a person can leave Eretz Yisrael for that. Ola Hatzil Miyad HaGoyim. Number 3, if it's dangerous in Eretz Yisrael, a person is afraid to live in Eretz Yisrael, so then a person has the right to live in Chutz La'aretz. And then the Rambam says, V'chein yotzehu l'schora, or if a person can't make a parnasa in Eretz Yisrael, so then he leaves and goes to the Chutz La'aretz in order to make a parnasa. So from the Lashon of the Rambam, the way the Rambam started out, that in the absence of these four heterim, there's an isser to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz La'aretz, it would imply that the Rambam agrees there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. If there was no mitzvah, so how could he say that it would be usser to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Chutz La'aretz? It sounds like the Rambam is in agreement with the Ramban that there is indeed a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. However, it's not so simple, because Rav Moshe points out in the Tshuva that he does not think that that's the opinion of the Rambam. We'll take a look in Source Hay in the Igros Moshe, and Rav Moshe writes, so he was asked the question, is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? So Rav Moshe writes, V'dvar she'eloschem yesh mitzvah achrav lador be'eretz Yisrael ki haramban. Is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael nowadays like the Ramban? Oh, ki harav chayim betosvos ksuvos daf kufiyo de'ena mitzvah bizman hazeh. There's an opinion of Rav Chaim Kohen, one of the Bali Tosfos, in Tosfos Maseches Ksuvos, where he seems to write, there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's a shita that the poskim have dealt with extensively. For the purposes of our discussion, we don't have time for that. But if anyone is interested, the Piskei Tshuva in Eben HaEzer Siman Ayin Hay deals with this shita extensively. So the Rav Moshe was asked the question, is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael like we saw in the Ramban? Or is there not a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael like would appear at first glance from that position of Rav Chaim Kohen and Tosfos and Maseches Ketuvos? So Rav Moshe writes, Hinei rov ha-poskim savri duhu mitzvah. Most poskim think there is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Aval, Rav Moshe says, Pashut she'ein ze bizman hazeh mitzvah chiyuvis sha'al haguf. You can't say that a person is obligated to live in Eretz Yisrael in the same way that he's obligated to put on tefillin every day. In the same way that he's obligated to shake a lulav on sukkahs and to blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah, you can't say a person is obligated to live in Eretz Yisrael. The Im Kain says, Rav Moshe, Haya memeila nimtza she'asar lader b'chutz la'aretz. If a person was obligated to live in Eretz Yisrael, he would not be allowed to live in Chutz La'aretz. Mishum she'over al aseh, because then he would be violating a mitzvah aseh. Such as if a person would wear a four-cornered beged without tzitzis. That a person is not allowed to do that. A person can't put on a four-cornered garment if he doesn't have tzitzis on it, because then he would be in violation of the mitzvah of tzitzis. So Rav Moshe says, if we thought of Eretz Yisrael in those terms, and that a person was actually chayiv to go to Eretz Yisrael, in the same way that if he's wearing a four-cornered garment, he's chayiv to put on tzitzis, so then how could it be that there would be people living in Chutz La'aretz? And Rav Moshe says, where it's bold, the second bold part of the source, So I say, Velo Huzkar Isser, the Moshe says, what about the Rambam we just saw? Doesn't the Rambam say it's Usser to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Chos La'aretz? So says Rav Moshe, Velo Huzkar Isser, Ela Al Hadar Be Eretz Yisrael, She'asser Latseis Amenas Lishkom Bechutz La'aretz, Berambam Perek Hey Mimalacha Malacha Tes. Rav Moshe says, if we're medayik in the Lashon Rambam, the Rambam never said aser ladur b'chutz la'aretz. It's not aser to live in Eretz Yisrael, but aser latseis me Eretz Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz. If one is already living in Eretz Yisrael, then it's aser for him to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to chutz la'aretz. But Moshe says the Rambam never said that it's aser to live in chutz la'aretz. The gamkin havade ino iser lav. And Rav Moshe says, even if you wanted to tell me that it's a chiyuv to live in Eretz Yisrael, it's definitely not a lav. It's definitely not a losase. It's definitely not an iser. And so skipping a few lines in Rav Moshe, he says in the next part that's bold, Rav Moshe says, Avo mitzad ha, this is his conclusion, what in the, as to the nature of the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael, Avo mitzad ha asay, from the perspective of the mitzvah asay, ein a chiyuvis, Rav Moshe says, there is a mitzvah, but it's not a mitzvah chiyuvis, ela kshedar sham mekayim mitzvah. But if you live in Eretz Yisrael, despite the fact that you're not obligated to go live in Eretz Yisrael, if a person does go live in Eretz Yisrael, then he is in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. It's what we call a mitzvah kiyumis. There are certain mitzvahs that are not mitzvahs chiyuvios. It's not that a person is obligated to do them, but if he does it, he is in fulfillment of the mitzvah. He's in fulfillment of a mitzvah kiyumis. The most famous example of this is that we know that there's a mitzvah, there's a chiyuv to eat matzah the first night of Pesach. For the rest of Pesach, there's no chiyuv to eat matzah. The Gemara learns in the pasuk, there's a stirim psukim. One pasuk says, Sheshas yamim tochal lov matzos, you should eat matzah for 6 days. The pasuk, and another pasuk says, Shivas yamim tochal lov matzos, 7 days you eat matzos. So is it 6 days or is it 7 days? So the Gemara says, now the Gemara learns a klal from here. The Gemara says, Lahakish shisha l'shiva, you should connect 6 days to 7 days. Ma shisha rishos, just like the 6 days after the first day of Pesach are rishos to eat matzah, so too, all seven are rishos, the first days are rishos also. When is the chiyuv? That's another part, pasuk, ba'erev tochlu matzah. It's the first night of Pesach ye'et matzah, there's a chiyuv to eat matzah. The rest is just a rishos. So it's quoted in the name of the Vilna Gaon, that the Vilna Gaon said, although it's only a rishos, and a person does not need to eat matzah the rest of Pesach, if he does it, he's in fulfillment of a mitzvah, and that's a mitzvah kiyumis. So Rav Moshe formulates a similar idea over here when it comes to Yishev Eretz Yisrael. It's not a mitzvah chiyuvis. He says, we can't say that. We can't say a person's chayev to live in Eretz Yisrael. But it is a mitzvah kiyumis. So if a person goes and lives in Eretz Yisrael, he is in fulfillment of a mitzvah. And when the Rambam says it's usher to leave Eretz Yisrael, that's only leaving Eretz Yisrael. However, it is mutter for a person not in Eretz Yisrael already to remain in Chutz La'aretz. That's the sheet of Rav Moshe. There is another Rambam, a fascinating Rambam, which Rav Moshe doesn't quote, which could have been, one has to wonder why Rav Moshe leaves it out. It is significant. It could have been used also as a source for the fact that the Rambam thinks that there's no actual chiyuv to live in Eretz Yisrael. And that's source Vav, the next source. The Rambam says, "Umutter lishkom b'chol ha'olam chutz me'aretz Mitzrayim." It's mutter to live anywhere in the world except for Mitzrayim. So from the fact that the Rambam writes that a person can live anywhere they want except for in Mitzrayim, it seems that he can't hold that there's an actual chiyuv for a person to live in Eretz Yisrael, because the Rambam says there's only an iser of living in Mitzrayim. However, in the rest of the world, mutter lishkom b'chol ha'olam kulo. So that again seems like another another basis for this sheet of Rav Moshe, that living in Eretz Yisrael is only a mitzvah kiyumis, not a mitzvah chiyumis. It happens to be, I've heard many times from my Rebbe Rav Shechter, that living in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah chiyuvis, not a mitzvah kiyumis. And Rav Shechter was of the opinion when he explained this in Shir, when we learned the sugya together. So Rav Shechter was of the opinion that not only according to the Ramban is it a mitzvah chiyuvis, but even according to the Rambam, it's a mitzvah chiyuvis. He didn't think, like Rav Moshe said, that it's only a mitzvah kiyumis, because Rav Shechter posed the following question, and he said, it's true, Rav Moshe's diuk in the Rambam, that it's aser latzeis me'eretz yisrael chutz la'aretz, but it's hard to understand why that should be the case, because why should there be a difference between leaving Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz La'aretz and just being in Chutz La'aretz? We don't find anywhere in the Torah that there's an iser to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz La'aretz. So if there's no chiyuv to go to Eretz Yisrael in the first place, what would be the iser to leave Eretz Yisrael? So Rav Shechter argued that it needs to be that the Rambam thinks that there is a chiyuv to live in Eretz Yisrael, and from the fact that there's a chiyuv to live in Eretz Yisrael, that's why the Rambam then formulates and that there is an iser to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz La'aretz. Rav Moshe didn't like that argument because the Rambam only wrote aser latzeis and not aser ladur. Rav Shechter argued in the other direction, but what would be the reason for that chiluk? Yeah.
It would be that you're mevatel the kibush when you leave. So So if there's a chiyuv to be of kibush aretz, and you can accomplish that by living in Eretz Yisrael, then when you leave, you're unconquering Eretz Yisrael. So it's not that you're not necessarily it's also to leave, but you're violating you're being vatal of kibush aretz.
That's interesting. I never thought of that. I wonder if that's true. When an individual leaves Eretz Yisrael, so does that, when we saw that a person goes and lives Eretz Yisrael, so then he's impartial fulfillment of the Kibush Aretz. So let's say you have Klal Yisrael all living in a place in Eretz Yisrael, and one person leaves. So did that affect, I guess if he sold that land to a guy, so then that would...
That's why Kibush is connected to Yishuv Aretz, because when you conquer a land but you don't live in it, you haven't really conquered it. Right. What are you doing?
And what would you say if a person left and sold his house to another Jew? So then that part of land which he did the kibush on, he just put another person in his place?
Jew left someplace
else. Let's say a person moved from Chutz La'aretz. I don't know. So I don't know the parameters of how you define. Well, it's interesting. I never thought of that, but I don't know how we would define that mitzvah. We'll have to think about that further.
But you also said that as long as some Jew is living there, okay, so if he left where somebody else was still living there, then it would be, you're not leaving it, Shmonah. It's still
you're saying, if the Jew who moves out...
But if he's the last one leaving,
yes.
That's a different story.
Right, so if he's the last one leaving for sure, even if he's not the last one leaving, it could be the place he's leaving is being left Shmonah. Mm-hmm. But if someone takes his place, I wonder if that would be...
It's better to have two people occupying an area than to have one person occupying an area. It's stronger... Kibush, it's a stronger occupation. It's harder to get rid of two people than it is to get rid of one person. So, potentially, even if you sold to someone else and they replaced you, you've downgraded the potential kibush of that area.
That's true. That is true. That is a good point. Maybe that is where Moshe is coming from. Rav Moshe doesn't write that, and I've never heard Rav Shechter say that, but it would be interesting to follow up with him. I don't know. I don't know the answer. But it is interesting. I never thought of it in those terms. I need to think about that more. So we're running short on time. So just in the last 3 minutes, so this approach to concretize what we have thus far, we've seen the Ramban is of the opinion there's a chiyuv to live in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam is a little ambiguous. Rav Shechter understands the Rambam is saying there also there's a chiyuv to live in Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Moshe is of the opinion there's no chiyuv, but there is a mitzvah kiyumis. So the Rambam is. And the Rambam, although he holds that if we follow the thinking that the Rambam thinks there's a chiyuv to live in Eretz Yisrael, so we would also need to contend with the Rambam in the statement that he makes that it's mutter to live b'chol ha'olam kulo chutz me'eretz Mitzrayim, that a person is allowed to live anywhere in the world except for Mitzrayim. In terms of this question, so if one assumed the route in the Rambam that the Rambam was saying that there's a chiyuv to live in Eretz Yisrael, so what it would beg the question: why is there only an issa to live in Mitzrayim and not in the rest of the world? So the truth is, this is a question that can be asked on the Ramban. Also, the Ramban is of the opinion for sure that there's a chiyuv to live in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban said that explicitly. We saw in the first source. The Ramban is also of the opinion there's an issa to live in Mitzrayim. If you take a look in source Yud, the Ramban says, or more clearly in source Ches. The Ramban says, commenting on the pasuk, "Ki kasher asher yisemes Mitzrayim hayom lo sosifu lirosam od ad olam." You won't continue to see Mitzrayim forever. Al das rabosenu he mitzvah lo sase ledoros. This is a mitzvah lo sase ledoros. So we already see in the Ramban that there's this possibility of saying that there's on the one hand a chiyuv to live in Eretz Yisrael, and on the other hand an isser to live in Mitzrayim. So it could be the fact that the Rambam is of the opinion that there's an isser to live in Mitzrayim is not necessarily indicative of the fact that there's not a chiyuv to live in Eretz Yisrael. It could be that although there is a chiyuv to live in Eretz Yisrael, and a person is not allowed to live anywhere else in the world, there's still an added special isser to live in Mitzrayim. So just to wrap up, it is a discussion of the poskim whether Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah chiyuvis or it's a mitzvah kiyumis. It's a very broad question, a very far-reaching question with obvious practical implications. It's not the purpose of this shiur to weigh in on the practical side of things, but just to open up the discussion a little bit. and to look into the issues, and hopefully this will give us a little bit of a framework for exploring the issues further, and hopefully as we started with the Zos Torah Sa'olo, Zos Torah Zevach HaShlamim, so some of the Zos Torah Eretz Yisrael for those of us who are in Chutz La'aretz now, and not actively fulfilling the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, so maybe by learning some of the Inyanim of Eretz Yisrael, we have some of that Zos Torah, some of that partial Kiyam of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael.
Wonderful. I want to thank Rabbi Finkelstein for his wonderful presentation. To credit not only for himself, but from his wonderful family as well. Ashi Avish Shalim Do Torah, Ashi Imo Shalim Do Torah, and Be'ezus Hashem, we'll continue with our opportunities in the future as well.